chapter 4. And we'll begin our reading in verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And I thought that devotion this morning dovetailed beautifully into what we'll be looking at this morning. And I've always kind of wondered at that. You know, I've sat through services where the devotion bled into the Sunday school, and the Sunday school bled into the service. And I sat there and I said, what a wonderful thing that God is working together. And even when you see that in conferences, you see preachers, they get so concerned. And for a long time, I was too, so concerned that they would go to the same verses. I've been at conferences where they all use the same verse. Not all, but you get the... It was delightful. I enjoyed it immensely. How each and every man could be used by God. You know what I mean? To tell a different aspect of the same doctrine and all be in agreement together. So we had a little bit of that today, but we're looking at this. What is it that the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, what is it that they are being encouraged not to do? Do not be like the other Gentiles. What are the other Gentiles doing? The other Gentiles are doing exactly what you were doing before God saved you. And maybe you're here today and you go, well, brother, I have to be honest with you. I'm still doing a little bit of what I used to do that I know I have no right to do any longer. And if that's you this morning, we're going to talk about how even in that, in our ability or God's ability to take us in our disobedience and move us to a place of being better, being stronger. I tell you what, the mercy of God is a powerful thing. If all he did was save us and left us the same, old nature, new nature, just boom, there you go. That would have been beyond mercy. But he doesn't leave you there. He continues to work with you to make you more Christ-like. Isn't the God we have good? That he would sit there with all the patience on earth? I tell you what, my mom tried to teach me how to drive. She quickly passed the job over to my dad. Everything I did got under her nose, man. Everything. Finally, dad couldn't take me to the actual test. Mom took me. And I was nervous and she was nervous. I was so nervous. Coming off the off ramp for the freeway 75 down there, I almost put that car on two wheels. You ever come off the off ramp at 65 miles an hour? Don't do it. It's no fun. Might cost you your driving test. We're going to make mistakes. And you know what God is going to do? He is going to help us fix those mistakes. What is the salvation of today? The salvation of today is come as you are, stay as you are. Come with your sins, be a sinner. God loves you anyway. But the God that we serve does not leave our flaws. The God that we serve helps us to change, motivates us to grow and be different. Who is it that is our standard as we continue on in our reading? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He is specifying what is wrong with what the other Gentiles are doing. This is them. And we have a pandemic. And among Baptist Christians, good Christians, rightly so-called Christians, we have a pandemic among us in that we look just as poorly as the Gentiles of this world. Why is it that we are afflicted with things and suffering with mental problems that God says we should not be suffering from? I'll tell you why. We're eating the wrong things. And that's exactly our problem. Think back when Daniel and his friends were all captured and taken away. What was it they were offered? They were offered the king's meat. They were offered things God told them not to touch. And you know what so many of the other boys that were brought over, you know what they did? Nom, 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 nom. They ate it up. But when they chose to honor God, even though it was just salad, those four boys grew stronger and leaner. The difference is that God blessed the ones who kept filthy things out of their mouth. It doesn't have to be our mouth. We bring filthy things in through the eyes, filthy things in through the ears. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, we eat like the Gentiles. We act like the other Gentiles. And then all of a sudden we start to worry. Well, why is it that I feel this way? Why is it that I struggle this way? Why is it that the problems are happening to me? And much like, and it's opposite of what my pastor says. My pastor says God will help me heal. My pastor says that God will give me comfort and peace. I do not feel these things. I'll tell you why. Because you're not going to God for your meat. You're going to this world. Now listen, there's some medical things, there's some things, interactions with medicines that'll mess with this chemistry. That's a thing. But a lot of times when we struggle because God is no longer our guideline. I got a van, we parked the van over here. Somebody asked me about the van, I know you guys get worried. We parked over there because I took a lot of things home. I had to bring a lot of things back. I'm a touch lazy this morning, okay? I didn't want to drag it through the church. We parked over there. That's a good car. It's a good van. It's going to get us down south, going to get us back up, fits everybody in it. Nice and hot when it wants to be, nice and cold when it wants to be. It will never be a boat. You following me on this? Never going to be a boat. I could try, and you know what it's going to do? It's going to sink. Folks, you are a brand new creation. You will never be like the other Gentiles again. Never. It used to be you ate that garbage, the stuff that they put on the TV, the stuff they put out on social media, the stuff, the philosophies, the vain ideas, the garbage that they put out there for you to consume. It will never do for you what it used to do for you. Drugs, alcohol, whatever, will not do for you what it used to do for you. Why? Because you are a brand new creature. We must eat at the Lord's table. He must be our portion. He must be our guideline. Looking at our song here, verse 3. Old fashioned because I am bound to do right. I am bound to do right. Do you see the beauty of the poet there? Now listen, I'm not trying to preach the hymn. I hope that's never been confused. I'm not trying to preach the hymn. But there are some hymn writers who have their stuff together. And I love that. I listen to songs. I said, what on earth? We were listening to Southern Gospel music yesterday. Just had it playing out there. I think we were running it through the television. Just playing music. There was a song, I have no idea what it talked about. It talked about prophets. It talked about disciples. I'm like, what? It was nonsense. What do? Skip. But man, there's some songs that have the Bible down to a T. We are bound to do right. You're going to be miserable doing wrong. Oh, but it feels good for a second. There's a lot of things that hurt just a little bit, but feel good. You ever go a little while without pop? Or anything caffeinated? You ever do that? I know some people do that. The down a flat rack, that used to be the thing. They'd go a whole year without pop. What's the first thing that happens? You go a while. What happens when you put that to your mouth? You know what happens? Your lips burn. Your tongue burns. Isn't that weird? That's weird, isn't it? How about sugar? You ever go a while without sugar? Man, I go too long without sugar. I just want to knock a building over just to say I did it, man. I'm miserable. There are things that feel pleasurable that are beating your insides out. And that's what sin is. To a brand new creature, if you veer from what God has for you, you are going to feel a small amount of pleasure, But on top of it, it is going to mess with your spiritual health. And because your spiritual health is messed up, guess what follows after? This thing right here, that brain of yours. And what do? We feel like these Gentiles. We feel lost, alienated, past feeling. And what do when you're past feeling? Anything will do. And what kind of things? Lasciviousness? To work uncleanness? With what? Greediness? Why? Because it gives your sin nature that little rush. But you know what you end up doing? Feeling worse. So what do? More of the drug. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I'm not talking specifically of drugs, but drugs are a perfect illustration. But it could be anything, man. Anything in here. Lasciviousness, man, that's a terrible thing. And you know what? That if I had to mark our society with one word, that's it. That's it. We're dirty. We are a dirty group of people. Just drive around. Drive around and see how people dress. Man, what was it? We had that day. It was 7 degrees outside. I saw a woman with a shirt reveal her midriff, and she had shorts I wouldn't wear to the bathroom with my kids up. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there going, it is 7 degrees. Do they dress like that in Alaska? I got to know. I know if that, because I'm sitting there like, what in the Alaska is going on over here? Because you guys are, like, what frigid, frozen planet do you come from where 7 degrees is a heat wave for you to dress like that? She's not dressing like that for comfort. Man, you see people, they dress and they're always having to, you know, fix. You're not comfortable. I know you're not comfortable. Well, it makes me comfortable. You have not left, your hands have not left your garments since I first walked in the door. Just, I used to work with people like that, man. Just, they would come in, skin tight, everything, and they're just, I go, tomorrow when you come into work, can you wear something you're going to be comfortable in? Because you're making me uncomfortable. You know, it's just ridiculous. Why are they doing that? Lasciviousness. Put a little bit of carnality into the everyday. Spice things up. And what is she doing? She's trading her value. She's trading respect for that little dopamine rush. Is that who you want to be? It's not who I want to be. I don't think it's who you want to be either. And I'm not just talking about the way we dress. I'm talking about giving into sin and continuing to give into sin for the rush you would have all the time if you just used God as your guide. If you just obeyed, you wouldn't need to trick your brain into thinking it's happy. You wouldn't need to distract yourself. Why? Because God is blessing your life. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. My friends, if we are to change, and in that change experience true worship, our behavior must be set by God. Not only just it's a vague guideline on how I behave. Sometimes I'll do it this way. Sometimes I'll do it that way. No, if this is what God has ordained, this is what I will do. Looking at that verse again. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. A lot of people out there, they have their own truth. Well, that's my truth. Well, that's my truth. Over here, you got somebody else. Oh, yeah, well, this is how I see it, and it's completely different than you two, and that's my truth. That's where you got to kind of sit there and say, hey, listen, truth ain't in you, and truth ain't in you, and the only truth in me is that Christ put there. Why? Because the truth is in Jesus. He is the truth. How should I behave? What should my attitude be like? What should my thought process mirror? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No variations. No changes. We have issues. We have ways of doing things that bring about our own demise, our own downfall, our own silliness. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you are saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you repented of your sins, and you firmly with all your heart believe that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. If you're here today and you're saved, you might not be happy with who you are. You might not be happy with the sin in your life. You might not be happy with the amount of work that you have done for him. You might not be, but praise God, he's not done with you. He is not finished. There's another song that I love. It was written by Gene Reasoner. It's called He Didn't Throw the Clay Away. If you get a chance this afternoon, look it up. It's a beautiful song. Empty and broken, I came back to him. A vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. And I blessed the day he didn't throw the clay away. Chorus goes like this. Over and over, he molds me and makes me. Into his likeness, he fashions the clay. A vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Verse 2. He is the potter and I am the clay. Molded in his image, the old-fashioned way. Molded in his image, he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and when I fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. You may not be happy with what you see in the mirror. You may not be happy with who you are. But God is still working. Oh, but brother, it's miserable. Then don't fight him so hard. Don't fight him so hard. Look at this beautiful song. We'll finish that verse 3. Old fashioned because I am bound to do right, to walk in the straight, narrow way. Which way? God's way. And you know what? It is old-fashioned. Doesn't matter when it was fashioned. It's by who it was fashioned. And because of who it was fashioned by, it could be as old as it wants to be. And it is still right. Oh, but brother, the world has changed. No, it hasn't. It hasn't. People still go to ornately decorated buildings to worship images. They just don't realize it. Oh, but what about this transgender thing? Hey, did you know that in the temple of Hermaphroditus, I can't remember, it was Hermes, and I think it was Hermes and Aphrodite. Their child, Hermaphroditus, was a non-binary creature, and you could go and become non-binary like Hermaphroditus by bathing into these waters. You know what they're doing with some of these transgenders now? They're having transgender baptisms. Oh my, how the world has changed! We used to slide children into the fires of Molech, hoping for a blessing and a better future, and that the next child would be better than the one we sacrificed. So you toss the first one away so you could have a better life with Molech's promise that the next child would be better and you would be more blessed when that child came. Oh, we've changed. We've not changed a whit. Nothing has changed. We just have new names for things, and we've got faster, more interesting ways to do them. They would sit in temples, and they would feast to stone gods. And they would stare, and they would tell stories of wild entertainments, distracting themselves, giving themselves to whatever fleshly lust and desire they have within these temples. Why? To tickle the brain and tickle the brain. I don't have mine with me. But you know, we've got that in a little box. You ain't got to go to the temple. little box we keep in our pocket. You go to the temple. You might have a little box in your home. You can get all that. Nothing has changed. So for us to call God's way wrong because it is old-fashioned and no longer relevant is a joke. We have not changed. God's way is still relevant. God's way is still important. We just have too much pride. And I say we editorially, I know it ain't you. But we as a society think ourselves too smart. You talk to some people, they don't believe people had brains before the 1900s. Well, that was back when they were... You talk about people in the 1600s, the 1200s, the whatever. Oh, well, that was back when we were dragging, you know, mallets on the ground and ooga booga booga. We had no idea about science and medicine. How did we ever live without using plants and sleep and things God has given us to make ourselves well? How did we ever survive without pharmaceuticals? We took what God gave us and we made ourselves healthy. Isn't that weird? You know, and I'm a fat guy, so I'm allowed to preach this. We go out and we eat these mystery chemicals through the windows. And then we wonder why we feel bad. And then we go to our doctor, and our doctor gives us more mystery chemicals. I was talking to somebody. They were talking about that little injection that they can give themselves. My doctor suggested it for me, $960-some-odd per prescription. My insurance company sent me an email. Hey, listen, if you buy this, every time you buy it, and you're good at taking your medication, because for some reason the pharmaceutical companies want to encourage us to keep taking the medications, we will lower the price by $25 every time you get it. And I scrolled all the way down to see how much it would be. Maybe they dropped the price all the way down, and then they were going to lower it beyond there. Nope. Could you imagine that? Hey, we've got this thing that we invented. We think that it's going to save your life. We understand that there's three different conditions you have that this would work perfect for. We also know that we could probably price it much lower to give it to you to make it much better. However, we're going to play this fun little game. The more you buy, the cheaper it's going to be. So we get our mystery chemicals from our window. We take our mystery chemicals. We put them into our bodies. And that's going to fix everything. I heard two people talking about the side effects of the mystery chemicals that they are taking to take care of their bodies. And I'm looking at that going, I will eat the salad. I will give up bread. I will do it. Whatever I got to give up to not have to do that, I will not. I will do it. Oh, but that's got to be the kicker, isn't it? Lord, I am unhappy with my current level of sin. I'm not reading. I've got a bad attitude. I've got this. I've got that. You take my sin out. You put yours in. Lord, I am unhappy. So I'll do whatever it takes. That's the hard point, isn't it? There's a song that I love. It's a more modern song. It's called Do Whatever It Takes. Lord, do whatever it takes to break me and shape me and mold me. Folks, that's a given. Still love that song, but that's a given. He is going to do that. What comes down to it is this. Will you do whatever it takes to conform to the old-fashioned way? Not because it's old-fashioned, but because God deemed it to be so. May he call me. This is one of my favorite hymns. We never sang this hymn. I'd never heard this hymn till I came. The first time we sang this song after we came here, I cried. I love being, you call me old fashioned. Listen, I grew up a fat kid in middle school. I don't have to be popular. I wouldn't even know what it tastes like. I don't need it. Call me old fashioned. Well, you believe like the old preachers did. Yeah. Because they believed God, and I believed God. Listen, there were some mistakes in the past. I'll say it. Preachers of old have made mistakes. You don't believe me? Read the book of Acts. Mistakes started happening immediately. But over and over, he'd fashion those preachers and build them better and smarter. And you know what? Some of us, we have issues because life has broken us a little bit. You know what? It's okay if gravity got you. It's okay if just the nature of this world came by and did something to hurt your heart. You know what? That's fine. Because God can still rebuild. Yeah, but it's different. Of course you're different. Would you really want to go through all that and not come out different? And if you're honest with God and you're good with God and you obey the Lord and you are faithful, you will come out stronger than when that crack first appeared. Stronger and better. What is it that the songwriter here, and he didn't throw the clay away, a vessel of honor. We read that in the New Testament. There are some vessels to honor and some to dishonor. I had a teacher down in Cincinnati. And he's sitting there. He was an old preacher. Man, he was an old preacher. A lot of wisdom. He'd sit there. His class was 45 minutes. You better believe 2 to 3 hours would pass before he got up and left. And everybody stayed. He just wanted to hear what he had to say. Even he'd finish the class, and you'd get the class, but you often learn more in the shooting the breeze than you did in the class. And the class was rich. It was good. He sat there. He was teaching us one time. He said, in describing this passage of Scripture, he goes, well, there's some vessels you bring out when good company comes by. He goes, other vessels, they're more like chamber pots. You just kind of do your business, and you empty them out. Because I want to be a good vessel in the Lord's house. Look, we kind of laughed at that. We'd never heard a preacher be so forward. Just threw it out there. Well, what kind of vessel do you want to be? I want to be a better vessel. You can't be a better vessel if you're not willing to make the changes to be more Christ-like. We got to make some changes. You will not stumble into Christ-likeness. You will not slip into Christ-likeness. You will not wake up accidentally Christ-like. You must change the parts of you that are against God in order to grow more like Him. Oh, and this old adage, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Don't tell God what He can do. I used to train dogs for a living. You absolutely can't teach old dogs new tricks. And you know what? There's a benefit to being a human. You're smarter than a dog. Smarter than a dog. Don't tell God what He can't do. Well, how could He use me? Man, there is no material in God's hands He can't do something fantastic with. We got to quit with this fake humility or this stubbornness that disguises itself as humility. I've seen that too, where people have been called to service into the Lord, and what do? Oh, I can't do anything like that. Quit being humble, get to work. God's not impressed by that disobedience. Oh, you don't understand my limitations. As a pastor, I don't have to understand your limitations. I'm here, I'm sent by God to help you get over those limitations. I ain't got to sit there and understand the scope of them. Oh, wow, that is pretty bad. No, what I got to do is sit there and say, oh, you don't know how to do that? Here's how to do it. You don't know how to do that? Here's how to do it. Oh, you've never been taught that? I don't sit there and go, wow, what a damaged vessel. They don't know how to do that. You know what you do? You go, oh, here's how you do that. It's that simple. Well, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I have a hard time doing it. Welcome to having two natures. Paul talks a lot about it. You know what you do? You pray, you kick it into gear, and you get it done. Lord, this is what I know you want. But we must conform to a certain image. And when we fail to meet that image, what do we do? According to this verse, what do we do? Let me find that first. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard of Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, what happens when the old man gets strong? You sit there maybe if you're a lady, you say, well, I don't like saying old man. Well, I'm fine to say old woman, but that's not very nice to say. Put it off. That old nature. You put it off. Every now and then you're going to wake up, you're going to find that person reaching for the steering wheel. And what do you got to do every now and then? You got to tell yourself, no, no. And we renew ourselves. We get down on our knees. We say, Lord, Lord, the flesh has become too strong. Father, renew me, refresh me, make me strong again. If I get my wife to come on up, oh, you're all the way back there. I'll read this while she's coming forward. James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what the word wanting means? To have a lack of. Well, nowadays, want means, hey, I went to the store and I want a candy bar. No. Lacking. You will lack nothing. And as we consider that verse, I want to give you one more. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If we can crucify this flesh, there is success waiting. Hymn number 207. Hymn number 207. Now, I'll be honest with you. I love this hymn. I have a hard time leading this hymn. So you're going to get a lot of silence out of me. It's just a little difficult for me. Take time to be things that I've heard about. People like this because you stretch out in the middle of service. Nice. Verse 2.
Take time to be holy. The world rushes on.
Soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by the Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. And I'll give you one better verse, 3. Let him be thy guide, and run not before him whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Where do we make our stand? What is our daily bread? What is it that matters the most of us, most to us? What example are we following? What kind of person do we want to be? These things must be thought of and even more so accounted for. We must give accounts. We must be accountable for the things that we are doing. As that song says, each thought and each motive. Where is it in this passage of Scripture? Does the renewing take place and be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Every now and then your foot's going to fall. It's going to slip. It's your responsibility to go to the Lord, say you're sorry for what you did, and make a full repentance of it. To leave that sin behind. It is our responsibility to be renewed when the old man gets too strong. I don't think much of boxing or fighting. Just a barbaric form of entertainment, in my opinion. But every now and then I'll see a thing. You know, they had that thing on Netflix between that kid and Mike Tyson. From what I hear, it wasn't much of a fight. Everybody was... Could you imagine some young kid and some old dude come out of retirement and they're fighting and it wasn't all that big of a show? Man, but you get two people in their prime and you put them together, what combat you'll see. And then you see that, you know, and I don't know exactly what the rules are, but you see them ring the bell, and they go over, and they sit down, and what do they start to do? They start to wipe away the blood, and they start to give them some water, and slap them in the face a little bit. Here's smell of this, and they send them back out. There is a war within you. And that war is declared firmly in this passage of Scripture. There is an old nature grasping for control, grasping for the former things, the garbage things. As Brother Dennis mentioned in a devotion quite recently, the baser things. The beggarly elements, that's what you refer to, the beggarly elements. Why are they beggarly? Because they're garbage. Nobody's excited about them. Nobody wants them. They're refuse. They're tossed out into the street. They're the beggarly things. They're the day-old donuts. They're the moldy bread. They're the peanut butter with all the celery on the inside. Nobody wants that. How long has that celery been in there? You don't know. Were they double dipping? You know that even less. Nobody wants it. The old man, he craves these things. The old nature desires. A part of you still exists. Why do I have such a hard time? You know why you have a hard time. Because there's a fool inside you still who knows better but wants the lesser things. Well, then why is it that I still desire the good things? That's your new nature. You seek to please God. You feel good when you are honorable to God. You feel great when you see God blessing you, other people, just to see God's hand move things. Oh, you're so excited. And that is the war within you. But in this ongoing war, you got to refresh the new nature. Because that old nature is strong. and it fights dirty. We must keep refreshed. And as we read in this song and as we see in this passage of Scripture, what is it? What is it that makes us strong? What is it that helps us go through? It is time with the Lord, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You put on that new nature and you go to God to learn how to use it. It's like Ephesians 6 as it goes on talking about the armor that we are to put on. It's all good and well to know the names of the armor. It's all good and well to know that it comes out of Ephesians 6. But do you know how to use the armor? Do you know how to put it to use so that that way sin and this worldly attitude does not enter in you? Do you know how to use this new nature? Because the Bible spells it out plain for us. Wherefore, putting away lying. Because of that new nature, guess what you can do that you couldn't do before? You can put away lying. Now, how do you know I can do it? God tells us to do it. Why would he ask you to do something he can't help you to do? Well, I don't feel like I can do it. That don't matter. You don't have to feel like you can do it for God to make you able to do it. Do you think when Joshua and the children of Israel were walking around Nineveh, do you think when they walked around that great city, they felt like those walls were going to fall down? I would dare say there's a few in that crowd that like to murmur and whine anyway. They were sitting there going, Joshua has lost his mind. This is the dumbest thing I have ever heard of. All right, here's the trumpets. And they looked over and they went, and sure enough, those walls fell. I've met too many Christians that are like that. When God tells them they are able to lay sin aside, they sit there and they go, no, yes, you can. Being a sinner means you are prone to sin. You are likely to sin. But it doesn't mean you have to. See how I'm sitting here right now not robbing a bank? See how I'm sitting here right now not sinning? God can help me prolong that time. Do I ever trust myself? Oh no. Especially not with a God that says to even think about sin as a sin. I can't trust me. I'm trouble. I am. And if you sit there today and you say, well, that's bad that the pastor's trouble. He should be more like me. You're trouble and you're worse because you don't know your trouble. You got to know your trouble. Doesn't matter how wide the gap is between your ability and what the mark is, God can get you there. So in this new nature, what must we do? Put away lying. And speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Means you not only have to tell the truth, but you got to tell the truth like you love people. Like you respect them. Well, why wouldn't you lie to them? I don't want to get caught. No, because I respect God. I respect them, and you know what, just a little bit? I like to respect myself just a little bit and not be that person who tells those lies. Well, yeah, but sometimes I have a hard time doing it. Oh, no, you may have a hard time doing it, but there's a reason why. You need a renewing. You need a renewing of the spirit in your mind. You need the Lord. You need to take that time, slow down. What it is that you are doing. I'm not talking about doing less. I'm not talking being slow in what you're doing. I'm talking about slowing it down in your brain. And thinking. And pondering. Some of us, man, we go like this. Some of us, it's because our brains are naturally designed to go like this. Some of us, because we watch too much TV. Some of us, because we entertain ourselves with things that go like this. You ever watch a child's cartoon nowadays? Everything. Bam, 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 bam. I said I was trying to watch the Paw Patrol, whatever it was with the kids. And there was this thing where there was this one person, this one character that was cheating at the race. And the snapped to the other guy. And he's like, oh, man, I'm not doing well enough. I've got to try harder. You know the old Disney adage of things you are not trained or able to do, you're able to do if you just believe yourself. Instead of sitting there practicing and working hard, they say, well, you just got to believe in yourself. And all of a sudden, dogs who can't race cars can race cars because da-da-da-da-da, I believe in myself. And bam, 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 bam. It's just fly. Slow down. Slow down. Gee, I wonder why our brains go like this. We watch 30-second commercials. Remember back when you had to watch commercials when you were watching things? Every now and then we'll watch something that has commercials, and my kids go, why are there so many commercials? And there's like two every few minutes. And I'm like, well, that's the way it used to be, pal. Well, and what are they doing? They are talking fast. Hey, try our new medication. And there's pictures of beaches and people living wonderful, free, and happy lives. And what happens in that last 3 seconds? Here's all the way you're going to die. Try this. You get your arm working just fine. You'll have full range of motion. Last 3 seconds. This is how it'll kill you. This is what our... Slow. Slow it down. Take time to make holy considerations on what it is you are seeing and what it is you are doing. We go too quick, we'll cause a fight. We'll go too quick, we'll come to conclusions that we shouldn't have come to. We go too quick, and we will make rash decisions. And my friends, your spirit is not ready for rash decisions. Well, when will it be? Never make rash decisions. Take time. Am I putting this off? Am I going too quick? You won't put things off. You keep feeding the carnal mind. I must put off lying and do so in a way as I respect God and I respect other people. We learned this when we were kids. You don't lie to mama. Why don't you lie to mama? Mama will find out. Mama always knows. That never should be our purpose for not telling a lie. Oh, I'll get caught. No. God will catch me because he knows. I got to tell the truth like I love God, I love the truth, and I love the people I'm talking to. With your new nature, you can be angry and sin not. What? Some of us, we get angry, we do a whole lot of sinning. Some of us, we get angry and we say all manner of things we don't mean. Threaten violence we know that we can't do. Man, there was a kid in our class, he was the toughest talking guy. You talk to him, He was in some kind of street fighting gang. You talk to him. Oh, I could whip this person's tail. He even told us one time he fought the principal and won. One day he picked on the new kid. New kid didn't like it. Popped him right in the mouth. Kid laid down like laundry. Kind of walk away, what do you say? Maybe he wasn't so tough. Maybe he wasn't so good. And it wasn't just that he was knocked out. He was crying. We're freshmen in high school. He's not so tough. Anger makes fools out of us. Did you know that you are capable because of the new nature, because of what God has done within you, because of what he has given you to study, you are capable of being angry and not sinning? That's a hard one for me. Forgive me for going slow. Because when we get angry, we like to get angry, don't we? Not just a little bit. But what if we didn't threaten the violence? What if we didn't say mean things? What if instead we took time to be holy, speaking often with God? Lord, I'm angry. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I used to say this when I was younger. Lord, help me be like the back of a hamburger helper box. Help me to simmer down. Used to love it when it simmer down for 20 minutes. Help me simmer down for 20 minutes. That's what we need. Yeah, but what if that's not enough? Then you've let the flesh grow too strong. And you're going to have to work harder to beat that guy. Right? You know, you could wrestle. Think about people with chickens. When it comes time to get them, the small ones are fast and hard to catch. The big ones will fight you. I don't know about the chickens. You guys, Mama and Papa, the big ones fought you. I didn't like that. Well, what happens if this sin's a little bit out of your control? You're going to have to fight hard. But aren't you glad you got a big old God? Aren't you glad that your God is not like Baal, where you need to put on a show just to get his attention? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit dwells within you and he already knows you're messed up right now? It says, neither give place to the devil. What a wonderful thing. That we don't have to give place to the devil. Many people, they feel they do. Well, what am I going to watch if I don't give a little place to the devil? What am I going to listen to if I don't give a little place to the devil? Who are my friends going to be if I don't give just a little place for the devil? God will sort that out, and trust me, he's going to sort it out better than what the devil's going to give you. All of his nickels are wooden nickels, all of his pearls are paste. You don't trust that guy. He is the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning, as the Bible says. We do not trust him nor his things. Oh man, what a terrible thing what's happening in the entertainment industry. I didn't trust it to begin with. Well, how are we supposed to know who to listen to and who not to listen to? Are they accurate with God? Well, no. Then don't trust them. We do the same thing with preachers. They'll start talking about things that are extra biblical. They'll start talking about things that aren't in the Bible. They'll have private revelations. And all of a sudden, it'll come out some gross sin hiding in the back of their lives. Well, doesn't that just bother you? No, I didn't trust them from the beginning. They didn't sound like my Lord. They didn't say the things my Lord said. I don't trust them. We can only trust in the Lord. Which means, you know what? If you gave no place to the devil in your life, you'll be happy as a clam. Be happy as a clam. And I'm going to say this again. You're not made for that. Not anymore. You're not made for that anymore. Could you imagine this? Imagine going over to India. I had some people that back when I was in the apartments, I came to know pretty well. They're from India. And they said, well, Matt, do you like spicy food? I said, yes, I love spicy food. And they said, do you like white person spicy food? Or do you like our version of spicy food? And I said, give me what you got. And I tried it. I love spicy food. It was good. This is back when I could tolerate curry. It's good. But whew, I was not prepared. I wasn't raised in that. I wasn't ready for that. It upset my stomach for a long time. I was telling my in-laws about a Thai food place across the way and how spicy it can get. And they asked me, Matt, every time we would get company lunch, I had a boss that loved that Thai food place. Every company lunch was at that Thai food place. And so I was always there getting the order because I was the low guy on the totem pole. And one time I'm putting in the order and he goes, well, Matt, do you like the spicy one? I go, I like it as spicy as possible. And he goes, he got to the point, he goes, well, how spicy do you like it? I go, hit me with your best shot. Never do that. To people whose culture adore spicy food. You ever hear of cast basin poisoning? That's when you eat something so hot it makes you sick. I was an hour and a half late coming home from work. Danielle's sitting there going, where were you? I had to tell my wife that because I smart mouthed off to a chef, I ended up having to go to the hospital. I'm not made for it anymore. I love spicy food. There's some things in some cultures I am not prepared for. My poor stomach hasn't had to process stuff like that. You're not supposed to be eating this stuff anymore. And I've stopped talking about Thai food. You following me? You're not supposed to touch the devil's stuff. You're not supposed to have it. It is the king's meat. And you don't realize sometimes, because I don't realize sometimes, I know you don't realize sometimes, that you'll be just as happy with the pulse. Oh, but it's less. It's not as exciting. It's not as wonderful. It's also not going to kill your spirit. It's also not going to feed the flesh. Hey, you know what people with rat problems leave out for Santa Claus at Christmas? Nothing. They have rat problems. What are you thinking? Why would we feed the problem? Right? We don't touch the devil's things. They're not for us. They entice us. They taste good. They look good. But that's not for us. Next time you go to touch the things that belong to the devil, I want you to remember that spicy food from that Thai place. I can't process that right. Oh, it tastes good. Oh, man, some of the best tasting stuff. That thing tasted amazing. The doctor asked me, why'd you keep eating it? I go, to be honest with you, I wanted to prove myself. And secondly, it was pretty good. Sound familiar? We're stubborn like that, aren't we? Don't sit there and say, well, my pastor, that's us. We'd walk right into the sun if there was a dirty joke in it. That's who we are. If there was something that would feed the flesh, man, we'd walk over hot coals. We give no place to the devil. And it's possible. And I'll be honest with you. I don't like normally do this on a Sunday morning, but I've bitten off more than I could chew. We're only midway through point number two. So what I'm going to do is this. We'll close. And with your permit, well, I'm going to do it anyway. We'll finish it tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this passage is wide-ranging. And Lord, I pray I didn't do too many silly illustrations. But Father, my purpose and my point is this, is that, Lord, you would show to us that we no longer need these things. And that, Father, you're merciful and that we don't need those things. And that, Lord, you will continue to work with us, building us again up more, fixing, repairing, whatever, Lord, so that we will be Christ-like. The Father, whatever condition we find ourselves in, we don't have to stay there. Be it physical, spiritual, or emotional, Lord, you cover it all. And Father, because of that, we do not walk around our heads hung in shame. But Father, kneeled in prayer, asking you for help and praising your name. Because after all, that's what we're trying to do on Sunday mornings. Learn how better to worship you, to consider better how to worship you. But Lord, without accuracy, without obedience, Lord, we can't reach that mark. And what's more, Father, we understand this and we'll go over this. Our hearts will no longer desire to worship you if we are filled with the wrong things. So Lord, whatever cracks, scuffs, cobwebs, dirt, filth may be in this vessel, Lord, I pray that you clean it out. That Father, you repair the cracks. Make me more, Lord. Make me better. We love you, Father, and you're the only one we know that can help us with this. And Lord, you're the only one who would. And Father, for that we praise and worship you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.